church. And again, that just doesn't look at the family in regards to mom and dad and kids. It's a family broader focus together as a church. And so please turn with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 this morning. And please follow along from verses 10 to 17. And that is the scripture verse that we'll be focusing in on this morning. It's not your traditional Mother's Day scripture verse from Proverbs, but you'll find it kind of unique as I learned and as I was drawn to this verse this morning as it pertained to being a family-focused church. So verse 10, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my ways of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution and sufferings, what kind of things happened? What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we come and as we read your truth, come to learn and understand, Father, you give us wisdom and you give us understanding of your word, your truth, that Father would lead us and guide us, rebuke us, Lord. May we just grow in our relationship with you this morning, Father. May as we hear your message, Father, as we hear about Timothy, Father, this morning, in Jesus' name I pray. Today happens to be Mother's Day, and I want to start off by saying that all ladies, which I have experienced personally, have a huge part in the care and the love in all of our lives. There's many ladies that you can say have had an impact in your lives, whether you were a child, a teenager, a young adult, or adult. I want to tell you about how a Mother's Day began as a celebration to mothers in church first, before it actually moved out into the world and became a significant holiday. Anna Jarvis was a homemaker and who organized a day to raise awareness of poor health and conditions for her community. She thought that a day would be best advocated by mothers and called Mother's Work Day. So how does that kind of fit in? Going, okay, Mother's Day, but Mother's Work Day. People are going, okay, so then we're going to expect our mothers to work on that day? That happened not to be what she meant. When Anna Jarvis died, her daughter, also named Anna, began a campaign to memorialize the life work of her mother. Anna remembered that her mother said that there were many days dedicated to men, but not to mothers. Anna then began to lobby politicians. She spoke to Presidents Taft and Roosevelt, hoping to get their support for this campaign. So in 1908, Jarvis organized a church service to celebrate her mother and handed out white carnations because they were her mother's favorite flower, right? Referencing our carnations. Anna Jarvis. His hard work began to pay off. 5 years after the church service, in 1913, the House of Representatives adopted a resolution calling for the officials of the federal government to wear white carnations on the day many began to call Mother's Day, the second Sunday in May. So listening to the celebration of Mother's Day that began in church by a Christian woman honoring Mother's Day, it's kind of interesting as I'm going to talk further in my sermon of where the foundation of Mother's Day began in the church. It began in the church family. You know, often that we think of mothers, the image of a woman and her baby come to mind, or a mom and her children. But the truth is that mothers in our personal and in our church families don't stop being moms when we grow up. They don't stop being moms just to their own kids. We're never too old to hear our mother's words of wisdom and words of their love, even words of their correction as we get older. Even though I'm 49, you know, my mom will give me words of correction. There's something about mothers. No matter how old we become, mothers will always be concerned for our well-being. Mothers will always care for us. They're concerned about our future. They're concerned, again, as I talk about the church being a family, our mothers in our church, how they're concerned. I think of the Sunday school teachers, the care and concern that they have for the kids that they teach in Sunday school. They're called mom, mother, mummy, madre, mama, mumsy. All those lists goes on. And of course, the truth is, the older we get, seemingly, the more sometimes we begin to act like our mothers. I know that at times I catch myself saying certain things to my kids. I'm like, oh man, that's what my mother used to tell me. Her job never seems to end, to be complete. Moms are truly the heartbeat of the family. Mothers wear many different hats. Secretary, butler, homework checker, chauffeur, right? Her job never seems to be complete, right? I have lots of hats, sports hats, sports favorite teams, whatever. Right? But moms, right, they're always wearing a unique hat. And here, it's interesting that Apostle Paul, he's the author of 2 Timothy, kind of brings up a point about mothers and grandmothers. And you're like, okay, I didn't hear mothers or grandmothers in that scripture verse. But actually it was. If you look at that letter, you'll find it interesting that Paul mentions Timothy, all right, as a kind of like a co-sender of his six of his letters. And that means that Timothy has spent a lot of time with Paul. Paul took time to speak into Timothy's life. And he speaks highly of Timothy as he writes a letter to Philippi. Paul's confident in Timothy's faith, to the point that Timothy is called the true son in the faith. And also, he calls Timothy his beloved child. Timothy was truly a part and intimately connected to Paul's life. But something that's kind of interesting, that Paul never had a factor in Timothy coming to salvation. Never had a factor of Timothy coming to faith. Paul didn't teach. And Paul really had no work, no investment in bringing Timothy to faith. Yes, Paul invested in Timothy. Yes, Paul worked with Timothy and helped Timothy grow. But Paul realized where his truth teaching in the Word came from. Paul helped to strengthen what he already knew, but he saw where it came from. In 2 Timothy, you'll see that Paul seen something in Timothy that he didn't teach. He says in these verses that a person who seeks a godly life through Christ Jesus will encounter persecution and affliction. Some of you may have encountered persecution. Some of you may have encountered affliction. You may be going through that right now. But Paul says, because you've seen it in my life, when it happens to you, he wants you to lean on what you've been taught. For Timothy, his faith came about through his mother and his grandmother. The one thing we know about Timothy is that his father was a Greek and his mother was a Jewish Christian. And where Paul draws attention to Timothy's mother and grandmother is in chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "I remember your sincere faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you." I want you to focus here for a moment on the word sincere. Here it's used to describe Timothy's faith. Unfeigned character means without hypocrisy. Timothy's mother and grandmother showed Timothy by word and by example of what it means to have authentic faith, genuine, sincere faith. And that is what Paul is saying. When time comes, when things get tough in life, we go back to your mother and your grandmother's teachings. You run into a situation and you're going like, "Oh, what did my mom say? Or what did my mom do when I saw her in the midst of some struggling times?" Because in those times, remembering them gives you strength. Well, here, Paul is reverting back and letting us know that Timothy, in the time of affliction or persecution, you can gain strength from the teachings that you've received from your grandmother and your mother. I see it as an important role for us as a church that we, in a sense, again, looking at mothers in a broader term, i.e. us mothers, right, are teaching and living out this faith so that children or those that are young in the faith or those that are needing to grow in the faith, that we live authentic faith, that we live a sincere and genuine faith. So again, right, I always, there's a little thing on the internet, and you can actually even do it on your phone now, I think, is where you can put a picture. I can put a picture of myself on there, and then what it'll do is it'll craft you and make you what I look like if I was a woman. Okay, all right, and so from that, realizing okay, the computer can make me all like, I figured I would have blonde hair, I have blue eyes, right? But for us as a role here, all of us take on that role of our faith, just like a mother, teaching those within the church. So it's not just left up to mothers to teach the truth to children or to those young in the faith or those new to the faith. It's all of our responsibility. It's a great tribute to any mother or grandmother to say to them that you have been an example to me, that your sincere faith has allowed me to have strength and courage and have my sincere faith, for me to live out authentic faith. That's what Anna was trying to celebrate about her mother. That was the essence of Mother's Day. Yes, thanking them and appreciating for all that they had done in our lives. But the key thing is their authentic, sincere faith and their continued teaching of the Word of God. As we look at this passage, I want us to keep in mind that, again, as I shared, to make sure that we put ourselves, that we understand that we wear those shoes, even for dads, or even if we don't have children. Grandmothers and all their children may have moved on, whatever. You still play a role as a mother in someone's life. Growing up, this was a major slogan on TV for Chevrolet in the 80s. They were the heartbeat of America. That was their slogan to get people to buy their vehicles. And that became ingrained in the American culture, the heartbeat of America. The whole concept behind that was that Chevrolet was saying, hey, right, we employ 620,000 people here in America. And if our company didn't exist, then there would be a gap in the American society. It would be devastating to America. So we are the heartbeat of America. We keep everything going. It's essential to the United States. Well, with that same idea, being the heartbeat of America, it's the same for Timothy's grandmother and mother, that they were the heartbeat of the family. She was the one that kept the family going. I remember watching it's a Disney movie where two families come together and they have 12 kids. And what's that? Yes. Okay, well, that movie, ended up where the mother went back to work, and the father had to look after the home. Okay, well, things all of a sudden ended up being total chaos. And near the end of the movie, they were supposed to have an interview with Oprah, and the person coming to set up all the lighting and the sound and everything before Oprah came, there was absolute chaos. And the mother, the wife, says to the husband, says, you said that you were going to have everything under control, that it would be no problem. And he was like, well, I'm not the heartbeat of the family. Today, there are more increasing pressures on single moms. And in a census in 2016, 5.8 million children in Canada are raised without a father. As I talked about the beginning of Mother's Day, the foundation with the church, mothers are the foundation. They are the example for us to follow. This is something that I found as I started going to church when I was 17. And I began to observe this over the many years as I went to church. What the mothers believe, so does the children. If the mothers go to church, so do the children. If the mother has faith in Christ, then the children, right, will end up following that same faith. What the primary role model of the child does, the child most likely follows that path. statistically, it is the mother. Not to discount fathers or single fathers, but that's why the Apostle Paul is reestablishing this foundation and making an important point here. In verse 14, he's speaking to Timothy, and he says, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those whom you have learned it," and in verse 15, "and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Paul is saying, hold on to what you started learning as an infant for your salvation and your faith. I had a meeting this week, and he was sharing how at certain times he interacts with people on the street a lot, and he's been smacked, he's been spit on, he's been ridiculed for his faith. And he said, if it wasn't for my knowing who I am in God, I would have walked away from my faith long ago. He says, but I know who I am in God. And he talked about that he came to faith again as a child. Well, I think that his mother had a significant influence in that. So at this point, I want you to listen. Moms, dads, brothers and sisters, school teachers, nursery workers, Christian mothers, Christian women, all of you provide a significant role in the education of children, those who are young in the faith, those who are new in the faith. You have a role to play in them coming to understand the message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. This is what Timothy has learned from his grandmother and his mother. They molded him into what he was to come later. Now, my mom's not a believer, but my mom had the message of salvation when she was a child, and so she then sent me to Sunday school on a school bus, and I went to Awana on a school bus. And then, of course, because church was not a major focus or core value in our home, we never went to church. It wasn't till later that I ended up going to church when I was 17 that mothers in that church began to nurture me, encourage me, teach me the Word of God. If it wasn't for those women in my life, in that first church, I would not be standing here with you today. I like this quote. "Men, we like to think that we run the world, but we really don't. Moms do. Mothers are the molders and makers of each day. We remember the ways that mother helped us prepare the new day. Counseling, advertising, shaping our attitudes for each day. Mothers are the heartbeat of the family. Moms have taken the wonderful gift that God has given them, and she prepares them for the world. Our mothers have prepared us for the world." Paul says that the very beginning of your life, Timothy, you have had godly women in your life who have molded you. And here in Proverbs 6, 20-23, it shares this message. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you, for this command is a lamp. These teachings is a light and a correction, and instruction are the way to life." How true, how powerful, how right those words are. forsake our mother's teachings. Forsake means to withdraw from companionship, to withdraw from protection or support, to give up on, to renounce. Here it's instructing us to not give up on the teachings that our mothers have given us. It also says, bind them always to your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they guide you. When you sleep, they watch over you. When you awake, they speak to you. These words that our mother have given us go with us to guide us. I want to come back actually to verse 17. Please make note of this. All scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. God has given mothers to help equip us for every good work, to honor and serve God. What an incredible role. What a beautiful role. Right? Now, of course, again, mothers in a broader term, whether you have children or not, you play a mother to someone. I revert back to what Fran had shared, being a librarian and a teacher. Miss Vincent, grade 3 teacher. Incredible. Made a huge impact in regards to the love and the care that she showed in my life. She wasn't my mother, but she played a huge role in my life. Mothers are the heartbeat of the family. And Paul gives credit to Timothy's mother and brother, grandmother. The other important piece here that Paul is wanting us to make sure and understand that these teachings lead us to Christ, to be secure in the knowledge of our salvation. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ladies, you are teaching children in the Spirit by example and by indeed. That Jesus is the light. But not only to children, to your neighbor, to your brother, to your sister, to a family member, to a co-worker. And I want you to be strengthened and be encouraged that you have that honor, that role. But Paul points out an important piece here, right at the beginning, before he goes into saying, hey, you need to hold on to what you believe. You see, the important point here is that Satan is using whatever he can to destroy the home. He wants to disrupt it. Satan doesn't want to see healthy families. This is why we need godly women guiding our children, helping to be that example, that genuine and authentic faith. Moms point the way to life. Timothy's mom and grandmother pointed the way to life for Timothy. Paul is reinforcing this. I want to end off with a story about a woman named Edith Burns. And she was a wonderful Christian woman from San Antonio, Texas. And she used to visit her daughter, her doctor frequently, Dr. Phillips. And she was the doctor's favorite. And one morning, he came into the office with a heavy heart, because it was about Edith. When he walked in the room, he noticed that Edith was sitting there, and on her lap she had her big black Bible, and she was earnestly talking to a young mother sitting beside her. Edith Burns had an habit of introducing herself in this way. "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" Then she would again explain the meaning of Easter, and many times people would come to be saved. So Dr. Phillips walked in the office that day, and he saw Nurse Beverly, and Beverly got to meet Edith for the very first time, coming in and taking her blood pressure, and Edith introduced herself. "My name is Edith Burns. You believe in Easter?" And Beverly said, "Well, yes, I do. You know, Easter eggs and bunny and Easter hunts and Easter egg hunts and going to church and dressing up." But Edith said, "Well, do you know the real meaning around Easter?" And Edith continued to share, and Beverly came to faith. Well, Dr. Phillips said, "You know, let Edith finish with that young woman. She's done, and then invite her into the patient's room." So Edith was finished with the young woman, and she came in, and she said, "Well, Dr. Phillips, why are you so sad?" "Well, I have some sad news." He says, "Well, are you feeling okay? You look kind of down. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying?" Dr. Phillips said, "Well, Edith, I'm the doctor, you're the patient. I have some information for you." He says, "Your lab report came back, and he says that you have cancer. And Edith, you're not going to be living very long." Edith said, "Well, why, Mr. Phillips?" She said, "Shame on you. Why are you so sad? Do you think God makes mistakes? You've just told me that I'm going to be with my precious Lord Jesus. I'm going to be with my friends. I'm going to be with my husband. You've just told me that I'm going to be going to celebrate Easter forever. And shame on you. You are having a hard time giving me my ticket." Dr. Phillips thought to himself, "What a magnificent woman this Edith Burns is." Christmas came along, the doctor's office was closed, and it reopened on January 3rd, and Edith didn't show up for her appointment. Dr. Phillips found out that she ended up in the hospital, and so he went to visit her there, and Edith had requested by her doctor that, "I am very near my new home. Would you do me a favor?" Said, "Would you bring women into my room next to me so that I can share about the story of Easter with them?" So they obliged that request. They would bring women into the room, and Edith would introduce herself, saying, "Hi, I'm Edith Burns. Do you know about Easter?" And over the many days, women would come in, Edith would share, and many women were being saved. The nurses loved Edith, except for one, Phyllis Cross. She made it plain to Edith that she didn't want to have anything to do with her being a religious nut. She'd been a nurse in the army, and she'd heard it all. She was your GI nurse. She'd been married 3 times. She was hard. She was cold. And she did everything by the book. Those were nurses that I didn't want needles from. One morning, two nurses were sick. And so Phyllis had to go and look after Edith. When Phyllis walked into Edith's room, Edith had a smile on her face. "Phyllis, God loves you. I love you. And I've been praying for you." Phyllis responded, well, you can quit praying for me. It won't work. I'm not interested. Well, as time went on, Edith continued to share with Phyllis that she loved her and that God loved her and that she prayed for her. At one point, Phyllis came and sat down beside Edith. Edith said, I'm so glad you've come because God told me that today is your special day. Phyllis had said, Edith, you've asked everybody here the question, do you believe in Easter? But you have never asked me. Edith said, Phyllis, I wanted to many times, but God told me to wait until you asked, and now you've asked. Edith Burns took her Bible and shared the Easter story with Phyllis. Phyllis Cross said, oh, I want to believe that with all my heart. I do want to have Jesus in my life. And there Phyllis came to faith in Jesus Christ. 2 days later, Phyllis comes into Edith's room. Do you know what day it is? Why, Edith, it's Good Friday. Oh no, for you, every day is Easter. Every day is Easter, Phyllis. 2 days later, on Easter Sunday, Phyllis came to work. She did a couple of duties. Then she went and got some flowers for Edith. Phyllis came into the room. She saw Phyllis with a smile on her face, with her big black Bible on her lap, her hands folded over. And as Phyllis came up to take the Bible off of Edith's lap while she was sleeping, found out that she had passed away. But her finger was on this scripture verse, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will also be. And also in Revelations 21, 4. And God will wipe away all tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Phyllis Cross took one look at Edith's body, lifted her face towards heaven, and with tears streaming down her cheeks, said, from then on, Phyllis continued to serve patients. And she would come into people's rooms and she would say, my name is Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter? I love that story. It doesn't say that Edith was a mother, does it? Yet she was the mother of many coming to know faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ladies and the rest of us, no matter who you are today, we are always a mother to someone. There's someone who's watching you. There's someone who is longing for you to talk and share with them. There's always someone searching for the truth. And God has given you the strength, the ability to be able to teach them, to guide them, to hold them together, to help the family of God. As I wish for all of you mothers and ladies this morning, I am so thankful and so grateful for every one of you on how you have had an impact in so many people's lives. It's my prayer that each of you, women and men and teenagers and young adults, that God has called you to be the heartbeat of the family, the heartbeat of the church, the heartbeat of the community, the heartbeat of children's lives. Most importantly at this time, right, the question is, do you believe? Do you know and believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know the message of Easter? The Bible says that if you come and confess Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you will be saved. That is the message that Eve continued to share with so many women. Would you please stand with me? And this time I'd like the worship team to come and prepare for singing our last hymn, but please stand. Would you bow your heads as I pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this message of this testimony of Timothy's life that was given to him through his mother and through his grandmother. And for us to realize, Father, that we know that we are sinners. To know, Father, that in our hearts and in my heart, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I ask for each one of us, Father, that we would turn from our sins. I ask that you would forgive us, our Lord, for our sins today and this past week. We come and we confess our sins to you, Lord. To be my Lord in my life. To me, my personal Savior in my life. Save me. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love that you've given your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may be saved. Amen. As I shared that prayer, if you are not a Christian and you desire to have the Lord Jesus with your in your life, prayed that prayer, you want him to have in your life, it doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't fix everything. It's about your heart condition. You come and you surrender and you repent, and it ends up being marked by the challenge in your life that he becomes Lord. Desire to have that relationship. If you've made that commitment, you want to speak more about what that looks like, come and speak with me. Or, again, we have mothers in this room that would walk with you. Let's come and sing these wonderful words to close off our service.
What a friend we have in Jesus. It's hymn number 435. And we'll say,
take your words, allow them to be impressed upon our hearts and our minds, and apply them, Lord, to our lives. We thank you for the wisdom that mothers have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Father, the responsibility, Lord, that they have taken on to care and love their children and, Father, extended children. Lord, may you continue to bless them in their hard times and in their difficult times, that you would encourage and give them strength, allowing them to know, Father, that they are so powerful.